Heights director John M. Collins has completed 1.5 years of serving as the first ever executive director of the American Society of Crime Laboratory Directors. He's on the other end of our line. John, how are you?
Good, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Tell us what you do for the Michigan State Police.
Well, the Michigan State Police has 7 forensic science laboratories, or crime laboratories as they're called, throughout the state. And I'm responsible for managing all of those laboratories. We take in the vast majority of all of the physical evidence that's recovered from crime scenes and crimes that are committed in the state of Michigan. And police agencies bring that evidence to our laboratory. So I'm responsible for managing the operations of those laboratories and also the quality assurance programs.
Do you have enough funding and enough people?
Well, you know, you always wish you had a little bit more funding and a little bit more people, but one of the things I think you find when you get into the kind of economic environment that we have right now is it really forces you to start to gain some efficiencies through some smarter business practices, and you know, we have been able to do that. And I think that we've just kind of scratched the surface on some of the opportunities that we have to increase efficiency, make some better decisions about how evidence is managed in the laboratories, but also really how we interface with police agencies and prosecutors around the state, because that collaboration is really important in keeping that evidence flowing into the laboratory and then into the courtroom where it's used to, you know, determine the guilt or innocence of defendants. So, you know, you always wish, you know, if you had more resources and you had more people, you could always do a little bit more with it. But I think we're plugging along about as best we can right now.
John, should there be a CSI Lansing? There's all these glorious CSI programs, and they get to drive the fancy cars and have the great weather, and the job looks so fun.
Yeah.
Should we have that here?
Well, I tell you what we have. We don't have that here. It's, you know, it's funny. A lot of people in my profession kind of thumb their noses at CSI because they, you know, they'll argue that it's not realistic, as you just alluded to. But the reality is viewers that watch that show come away with an understanding that there are people in our criminal justice system that use science to solve crimes and use science to identify people that commit these crimes. And I've always felt that is the realistic part of that show, and it's very realistic. And in a lot of ways, CSI has been responsible for helping crime laboratories around the United States get some more funding, and I think that's been a positive. So I'm not really one that's going to complain too much about CSI being inaccurate, but there's no doubt that the show does not capture the some of the nuances and the challenges that are inherent in this line of business. But here in Lansing, we got a really good lab, we have a really good staff, and it works for us.
What's starting pay for someone just coming in to work for you?
Starting pay, it can run around $40,000 a year. It depends on, in the state police, we have both what you would call sworn or enlisted staff, individuals that used to be troopers that were on the road, and then we also have civilians. But kind of the rough range is around in the 40s, maybe low 50s. It's certainly not... it's not what you would call a very high-paying job, particularly right out of the chute when you first start your career, but it's a high-satisfaction job, and we have pretty low turnover. So people come into this profession, and they tend to stay in it for a long time.
For the life of me, I can't understand why the city of Detroit's police force doesn't have one. I know there has been funding challenges there, but it seems like they have not only funding issues, not only keeping one on hand, but treating it properly to make sure that they don't taint or mismanage the resources that they get.
Right. They actually had one of the first laboratories in the country. Their laboratory started back in the mid to late 1920s was when the Detroit lab opened, and a lot of historians of forensic science kind of regard the late 1920s, 1930s, when there was the St. Valentine's Day massacre in Chicago, and then the murder and kidnapping of Charles Lindbergh's baby in 1932, is kind of the birth of crime labs. But when that laboratory shut down, the Detroit laboratory shut down in 2008, it was a shockwave that that went through not only the Michigan State Police, but through the country, because we had never seen anything like that happen in forensic science. And there's a lot of people that are, including us and our partners in Wayne County, Detroit, that are coming to grips with exactly why that happened and how we prevent it again. But the Michigan State Police, I think, really did a nice job of taking up the slack when that lab closed, and I think we're still recovering from it, but they've gotten a pretty high level of service from us from the last 3 years, which is good.
It seems like it would be just an almost impossible task to gather information without tainting it. How do you train folks on how to do that?
Well, what's interesting is that, and I preach this a lot to my staff, is that employees tend to respond to culture much more quickly than they do supervisors, and it's really important to develop a culture that rewards that level of caution. So one of the things that you have to do when you're a subject matter expert in forensic science is the number one thing you have to know is you have to know what are your sources of error, what if you were going to screw something up, if you were going to make a mistake, where would you most likely do it? And, you know, we kind of teach this to kids when they start driving. You know, we teach them where they're most likely to get into an accident, and just that awareness of where you're most likely to fail is the first step in developing a forensic scientist that is not going to do those types of things, is not going to contaminate evidence and so forth. But, you know, the reality is, particularly with DNA now, which is so sensitive, is that you just, you know, all of us are human beings and we're dealing with some very sensitive evidence, and you do have problems from time to time. But I think if you look at the volume of evidence that comes through laboratories like ours, compared to the number of instances of any kind of failure that we ever have, it's pretty impressive. So we managed to do it one way or another.
You just completed your time as executive director for the American Society of Crime Laboratory Directors. Talk about that experience and what you accomplished.
That was probably one of the best experiences of my career. It was the American Society of Crime Laboratory Directors is basically the main professional organization of crime laboratory managers in the United States. We also have many international members because they see the value in the association. And what the organization was looking to do was to kind of modernize its business practices and to stabilize its business practices. And I applied for the position and was actually getting paid for it for quite some time. And then my dream job here at the Michigan State Police opened, and I competed for it and got it, and felt that I didn't want to be compensated in that second role, so I kind of agreed to do it on a volunteer basis. And what I loved about it, Tony, was that it kind of plugged me into a lot of the national policy things that are going on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. related to forensic science. There's Senator Sessions in Alabama and Senator Leahy in Vermont that have paid really close attention to forensic science. Vice President Biden has paid real close attention to forensic science. I got to go and meet with Senate staffers on Capitol Hill talking about forensic science policy. And so in terms of accomplishments, I think one of the things that I was able to do to some extent was to try to help the forensic science community establish a message about what its needs were and what its purpose was that resonated with people on Capitol Hill. And I think it helped us secure some funding for, you know, particularly for like DNA backlogs and crime lab modernization, things of that sort.
All right. Interesting stuff. We've been talking with John Collins, who is the executive director for the American Society of Crime Laboratories, and he is now the director of forensic science here for the Michigan State Police. We appreciate your time. We're going to stay in touch.
Thanks, Tony.